All right. So moving on, this hour, it is the big table. This is where we sit down with someone from Chicago and talk for the entire hour, stretch out. You know, Andrew Barber's not just a guy who posts videos and mixtapes on fakeshortdrive.com, Chicago's most influential, I would say Chicago's most influential hip-hop website. He's a tastemaker. He's a trendsetter. He's a place that artists, locally and nationally, want to be on. They want Andrew to premiere their new song, their new video, talk about their upcoming show. The site represents a Chicago music community that's vibrant, that's prolific, and massive. That's what I take away. It is massive.
Right now, for sure.
Andrew Barber's here tonight to talk about his career in hip-hop media, to talk about what we should know about the music scene that Sunset Boulevard, Madison Avenue, and everybody in between is paying attention to. His Go Ill major label showcase at the end of May is sold out, which will bring together A&R reps from all over the country to meet and listen to Chicago artists. Andrew Barber, thanks for being here, man.
Wow, thank you. That was such a glowing introduction. I appreciate it. You know, I feel good. You make me feel really good about myself this evening.
So when I say a Go Ill major label showcase, what does that mean?
Okay, so with the Go Ill major label showcase, I'm working with Ja Monopoly on that, who is a Chicago music industry legend, especially in the urban space. He was Kanye West's first manager. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that.
Yeah, right.
And you know, he's been doing stuff since the 80s. And basically, it's to give back to the younger artists in Chicago that are spinning their wheels, trying to figure out how to get in front of people at major labels, major record labels, and you know, industry people that they usually wouldn't have access to.
They still have those?
I know, right? They do. It's not like it, you know, it once was,
right,
but they are still influential, and people just want to have that exposure in front of a professional, and then maybe just get an opinion. Maybe,
this is mostly hip hop. This is
hip-hop,
MCs,
correct.
Rappers, things of that nature get up on a stage, and these guys get to watch them in a showcase that you guys put
in
together.
A showcase. But this is more of a networking thing where they can kind of, you know, maybe show them their packaging on a mixtape, their album cover, or what. Hey, I want to run a couple songs by you. So it's more of a you know, a think tank and a seminar.
Do these kind of things work? I mean, do you see people coming out of Chicago that you can point to be like, oh, Chief Keef was at a showcase?
No. But I think for certain people, it is good to learn.
It's good business skills.
It's good business skills, you know, because a lot of these people don't have this kind of interaction with these type of professionals, because in Chicago, there's no major record labels here, and there's really not much of that kind of entertainment industry here. So it's good for them to kind of network with those people and rub shoulders. And, you know, maybe that it's a good way to, you know, learn the ropes, maybe learn some industry terminology and whatnot.
Andrew, let's go back to when you started Fake Shore Drive. It's a website. It's really, I mean, primarily kind of plays like a blog.
Right, yeah.
And it really sort of launched when music blogs from all around the country were sort of the hot thing where people would be able to put out different videos and mixtapes and things on that, and sort of introduce them to a world from that site. But talk about how it started.
Yeah, well, I started in 07, so we're almost 8 years old, 2007. And at that point in time, you know, Chicago hip-hop had a presence. You know, I like to say the Mount Rushmore at the time was Kanye, Common, Twista, and Lupe Fiasco. Mm-hmm. They were like the big four. And if you weren't one of those big four, you weren't getting any national coverage on the blogs. And this is when hip-hop blogs first really started kind of popping up, and it was a new thing. And I was going to all these concerts and events and meeting all these different artists, and there was all this straight, you know, great stuff happening. And it was like literally there was nobody talking about it anywhere else. And I just saw the void there. And I said, there's all this talent here. There's all these amazing artists. Why is there no national exposure? And, you know, I would try to just maybe send it to some bigger blogs and tell people about it, but they didn't care. You know, they weren't
like
here.
Like when you had a mixtape or you had something from an artist, you'd be like, right, hey, you should check this out.
You should check it out. Like, this is, you know, these kids were selling out shows. They had their own little parties all over. You know, I think the Cool Kids were like the big group then. Mm-hmm. And then like Hollywood Holt and Mano, who were still around, were big then. And Kid Sister and even Flostradamus, like early on. And people in the outside world didn't know they existed.
And that was the thing that they would be able to put on a show at a big venue sold out. They put something out on online, tons of people are listening to
right.
it. But it's just not catching the attention
of
the
national, but
the
they
network.
could do smaller venues. They could do, you know, little bars or clubs, and they would pack it out. I mean, it'd be packed. I mean, sure, they weren't, you know, selling out the Metro, but they were doing sizable venues.
Right.
Enough so that people should be paying attention to it. And so I just saw the void, and I go, you know what, if nobody else is going to cover this, you know, why don't I give it a shot? And, you know, I didn't have any connections. I didn't know one single artist, didn't know one rapper. I printed up a stack of business cards. You know, I came up with the idea and the name. You know, you get those stack of business cards for like, you know, $200. You can get like 2,000 business cards or something like that. And I went to every single event.
See you in a room with business cards. Like, it's happening.
Like, we're making it happen, you know. And at the time, it was just a hobby. I didn't kind of foresee it as being my full-time career or turning it in, you know, turning into what it has become. But I just, you know, I hit the ground and, you know, people looked at me crazy when I first, you know, showed up on the scene and was going to these events. They're like, yo, who's this guy? Like, get him away from me. He wants me to send him my music to give away for free. Are you crazy? Because that was still kind of, you know, Chicago hip hop had not come into the digital age yet. And
so you needed them to give the tapes, actual tapes and CDs.
Yes, and just to understand, hey, you know, this isn't, you don't just go to Michigan Avenue and stand out here and sell your mixtape. Yeah, you can do that, but that's not what it is anymore. Like, there's this whole net. There's this thing called the internet. You might have heard of it, and people are now sharing their music on it. I mean, you know, it takes some people years to catch on. You know,
and for you, I mean, it really did become sort of a I don't want to say an overnight success because you work. I mean, the tenacity. That's what I always take from Fake Short Drive. If I even today, I go on there today, and there's 15 posts.
Yeah.
All different, like, hey check this new artist mixtape. Hey, there's a new video you should check out. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the tenacity that you were continually to commit to the scene. But what was it that took you to a point where you're like, "Oh, I actually got something here?"
You know, there was a lot of different things, but when I started being recognized, when people would go out and, like, you know, I never had that thing where I would go somewhere and people would be approaching me like, hey man, can you listen to my mixtape?
Is like, it because no one was paying attention, like, to them, like, and you started paying attention?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like,
and
oh,
it was giving them a platform, even though they didn't know that there was maybe wasn't a ton of people reading it, but it just was a platform. And it's like, you know, I think a lot of the larger websites and blogs kind of saw what Fake Short Drive was as like a farm team, and we're getting the best talent out of here, and if we can get, you know, somebody on some of these other bigger websites, then they can maybe go to a major label. And we were helping people get, you know, noticed and notoriety, and people started getting shows and booking shows and kind of becoming locally famous, and then some have gone on to be internationally nationally famous. So, you know, it was just a platform and people believed in it, and it was tough. It was a tough sell at first, and, you know, I ran it for the, you know, we're almost 8 years, but I ran it for the first 3 to 4 from a full-time desk job that I had, which is actually right across the street from here in the building
back,
right there.
Right.
You know, I worked on it. I had like a double life. You know, during the day it was, you know, I was in a suit working in a cubicle. Well, at night I was going to rap events and, you know, and sneakers and Jordans and hanging out and, you know, just making connections. So it was like exhausting, but I had a love for it. And, you know, I had a real passion, and that still keeps me going today because I really love it. I mean, I'm just a fan of hip hop culture.
Well, it's paying off. Fake Short Drive, one of the preeminent places for Chicago hip hop, which is a brand in its own right at this point nationally. And we're going to talk about some of the artists that Andrew has worked with who have come up through the ranks, who now are either, you know, making national audiences, are entertaining national audiences, or are about to.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that when we come back here on The Download with Andrew Barter. So Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with Andrew Barber. Fake Short Drive. Yep. There we go. I know, right?
We're here.
We're talking about Fake Short Drive. We're also talking about the Chicago hip hop community and really trying to get a better understanding of how it ticks. Because, you know, when you think about a music scene, anyone who listens to this right now is thinking about, you know, okay, well, I know what a music scene. I know that, you know, a band breaks through, you know, maybe a major label, that kind of thing. But the rules have changed, and Chicago hip hop is kind of at the center of it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need major labels anymore because they have their own following.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the major label system, while it does still play a part, it's not as strong as it used to be. And I think Chicago in 2012, when this younger generation of artists, you know, most of them are all 25 and under. They used the power of social media and the internet, and a lot of them became millionaires from their parents' living room, their grandparents' living room, whatever. You know, they put together little crews, and they would say, okay, well, you want to rap? Okay, you be the rapper. I like to make beats. I'll be the producer. He wants to shoot the video. He'll shoot the video. And so they were just utilizing all these resources that they were, you know, they were taught in school, or they just picked up on, many times they just picked up on their own, and they figured out hey, you know, I can put this on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and these people that might be unknown might have 200,000 Instagram followers or something like that. And then it just goes crazy. It just snowballs from there.
And when you think of those names, I mean, I think the most notorious one that everybody seems to know outside of the community would be Chief Keef.
Right. Yeah. And, without a doubt.
And Keef was a rapper, Southside rapper, who, mm-hmm. same thing you just talked about, had a huge following.
Yeah.
And he actually broke through to I don't know if his major label, but.
He was, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the end game for a lot of these guys is, you know, we want to get a big check from a major record label. And that's what happened with Keef. And he got so hot. I mean, his thing happened like overnight because it was so raw. And it was like literally, you know, he was filming his music videos from his grandmother's living room. And he had a backstory. You know, he had been in trouble with the police. He was 16 and had a kid, had been to jail. And the outside world really bought into that. And it became more about the story. And then he also had the music to go along with it. And then a bidding war broke out for him, which means, you know, everybody, all the major labels wanted right. to sign him.
Were you surprised? I mean, you're Fake Shore Drive in Chicago. You're putting Keef's stuff up on yeah. Fake Shore Drive. Yeah. Were you surprised?
No,
about all
I saw it. I mean, I knew from the first time that we ever posted him and just how crazy the traffic went that, okay, there's something special here.
Do you think it was because of his following or because of what he was selling?
I think it was more about his backstory. But he had the records to go along with it. You know, he had really big songs, and it was different, and it was raw, and it just kind of came out of nowhere, and it shocked people.
And now in Chicago, everyone knows the kid because he continually runs into trouble with the police, and the
right.
newspapers flash
yeah.
it on the front pages. Mm-hmm. But he's much more than that, and he wasn't just a. I mean, he was helped out by Kanye West, which
right.
was on a big track,
yeah.
and so on and so forth. And it's just interesting just to know that that's sort of the headline, but behind Chief Keef, there are hundreds of rappers,
thousands,
but I would say hundreds who are ready to break or are on the same trip because the eyes of the music industry after Keef came here.
Oh, I mean, my phone would not stop ringing when the Keef thing happened. Almost immediately, I had A&Rs from every major record label calling me. I had brands calling me. I had MTV. I had everybody trying to get in contact with him because at the time I was like the only media outlet or person that they knew that could get in touch with him. And I had people like, hey, if you get me on the phone with him, I'll pay you. I mean, it was crazy. I'd never seen hysteria like that. And, you know, love Keef or hate Keef, but he's the one that really broke down the door for this younger renaissance of artists. And he went on to sign a $6 million deal with Interscope Records, but, you know, that didn't pan out. But it was a big thing, and that allowed, you know, guys like Chance the Rapper and Vic Mensa and, you know, Little Herb and Little Bibby and Little Durk and these other guys, you know, to kind of find their way.
Well, let's talk about these because the next one on the list would be Chance the Rapper.
For sure.
A kid who a completely different
yeah.
Sound than mm-hmm. Chief Keef, but nonetheless another one with tremendous following.
Yeah, huge.
And doesn't need media in any form to sort of push him. I mean, he played Lollapalooza with almost, I mean, he wasn't really even on iTunes.
No, like, he's not on iTunes. He's straight SoundCloud, which is a free music streaming
yeah.
service. I mean, he's given away his music for free the entire time, and that's his model. It's, you know, hey, let's get the music. You know, a lot of people, these kids understand that music is free now. I mean, it shouldn't be, and they're going to have to find a way to monetize it, which is going to be streaming. I mean,
and I want to ask about that later,
yeah.
just about how they're going to make money
yeah,
off of
I mean,
this.
I mean, that's the future, but the goal is, hey, these kids know that music is free now, and the way they're consuming it is they're streaming it, they're listening to it on YouTube or Spotify or whatever else. So let's just give it to them and figure out a way to you know, make our money on the touring, because that's where the bulk of the money comes from anyway, or from working with different brands. And I think that's kind of where these guys have fallen in and know that's where their bread and butter is.
And it's fascinating too, because you've heard so many, I guess, horror stories about bands and rappers who went to major labels, got kind of in debt.
Oh, yeah.
In the way that, you know, hey, we're going to give you a 4-record deal, but we're going to pay for it up front, and you got to pay us back.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually never get out of that cycle. And it seems like these kids are figuring it out, that they're like, we don't need
yeah.
to go in there. We
yeah.
can give our money, or give our music away for free and make the money on the tour.
And then nobody can control us creatively. You know, we have full creative control over our music. We determine when it comes out. You know, you could sign a record deal and be sitting on a shelf, never coming out for 3, 4, 5, 6 years or never. And then you're still contractually obligated to them, and you have to have somebody buy you out. And so I think a lot of these guys are just saying, hey, let's see how far we can take it on our own.
Where are these audiences coming from? Because I don't know.
It's crazy.
I follow Lil Bibby on Instagram,
right.
and he'll just show a picture of like oh, I'm so tired. He'll have a coffee in his hand, like, I'm so tired. It'll be like 70,000 likes.
It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. I'm like, this is, we got to figure out a way to yeah, heal the world.
I'm like, how, I mean, for a guy who, you know, is not, I mean, he's had some success with his records.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But he's not like, he's not
a household name.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, he's not like Wiz Khalifa or somebody not like super huge yet. He's on his way, but it's, I don't know. I mean, it's this, you know, like I said, these kids have figured out how to use social media to their benefit. And when you're younger, you know, there's a lot of people that are around that are looking at it that just want to be a part of something and to, you know, to say, okay, I was the first person, one of the first supporters of Little Bibby and or whoever, and they just, they eat everything up. Now, it hasn't really been determined that, you know, does that, do you end up making any money that way? Does that, right. Does that equal dollars? And in a lot of ways it doesn't, because, you know, you could have a million Twitter followers or Instagram, but once your project comes out or you come through that town in your show, are people gonna, you know, because I know people
key, right?
Yeah, with 500,000, you know, Instagram followers that probably wouldn't even be able to sell out the Metro.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't make any sense, right. So it's hard to equate that with success.
It's interesting. I mean, it's a fascinating world, because just the business side of it, of trying to figure out how they're gonna make money, but at the same time, that's a problem that is everywhere across the arts. It's in theater, it's
yeah,
in film,
yeah,
independent
yeah.
film.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not, but it's amazing for these kids. And when we say kids, we truly mean 17, 18, 19-year-olds. To have a million followers for people to, I mean, it's an amazing life they're living with
yeah.
before they figure out what to do, I guess. But when we come back, I want to talk more about the perception of Chicago rap music, because
sure,
you
sure.
know, with the Chirac stuff that's happening and Chief Keef, you know, sort of, and the Nicki Minaj track that was Chirac, mm-hmm. that Lil Herb stuff. So we'll talk about how much of that is real, how much of that is manufactured. There's always this feel that it's coming from somewhere else. And if there's anyone in Chicago who's going to know about that, it's going to be you.
Right,
Andrew
yeah,
Barber,
yeah.
Fake Short Drive here on the download. We'll be back in a bit.
Cigarettes on cigarettes, my mama.
So download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, little Chance the Rapper. Talking with Andrew Barber from FakeShoreDrive.com. I would say it's Chicago's most influential, would you say, the hip-hop site? I mean, are there
yeah.
other sites? I mean, they kind of come and go, right?
Yeah, I would say probably.
Because there was
yeah.
a time when there was like a little bit more competition, but those have fallen off.
There's still plenty around, and shout out to them, you know, but I would say, you know, as far as notoriety, Fake Short Drive is probably the most popular.
And
I'm trying to be humble here, so, you know.
Just gave you a quick softball there.
Yeah,
be like,
yeah,
I am
you.
The best.
I'm number one.
I'm number one.
No, but we try. We try to do a good job.
Well, you do. Andrew Barber here on the big table here in the download. We're spending the hour talking about your work and also about the Chicago hip-hop community, which to me is a little bit of a mystery and an anomaly in the way that, you know, like people who are listening right now be like, okay, I know Chicago two ways. One would be Kanye West and Common and the sort of conscience rap, right?
Mm-hmm,
like the
right.
sort of like, we're from the Midwest. And Common is a perfect example of like, we believe in something,
right?
Right? That's
yeah.
that's a Chicago thing. Mm-hmm. While you had the East Coast and West Coast thing kind of battling out, Chicago was, you know, rapping about real things.
Right.
And then there's this secondary thing that's happened in the last 3 or 4 years, this drill sound where you have a real sort of soundtrack to the South and West sides of Chicago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Chief Keef, what we talked about, Lil Herb, Lil Bibby, like a little bit more, I don't want to say gangster, that's not the right word, but maybe it is, but it's just a little bit more street leveled guns, drugs.
It's aggressive.
Yeah. But it's a departure from the sort of,
it's very different.
Common and Kanye's that sort of that made the scene what it was.
Yeah, and even more, some a lot more, you know, a lot darker than, you know, what Twista and the Legendary Trackster and those type of people, Do or Die, and those people were doing. So yeah, I mean, it's a different thing, and I think it was such a shot, you know, the drill movement. I think,
and
I had
explain
a,
that drill.
The,
drill
okay,
is,
drill is, you know, slang for it's, you know, drill can mean anything from we're gonna go drill this, we're gonna go rob somebody, or we're gonna. I mean, it can mean, it's a verb. It can mean a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And but they took a slang word and they turned it into a genre. So that's what they call the genre. It's a little bit more Southern influenced, you know, because a lot of the kids that were making the drill grew up listening to Atlanta based rap artists like Gucci Mane and Waka Flocka. So it kind of has those hard drums,
yeah.
and those eerie sounds, right?
Yeah, right.
And Young Chop is probably the most popular producer of drill. He was kind of the person behind that sound.
Okay.
as far as on a production tip. And, you know, it was just more aggressive, harder influenced, and, you know, it was very polarizing. And I think what drew the outside world to the drill scene initially, because that's, you know, in 2012 when, you know, these drill artists like Chief Keef and Lil Durk and Lil Reese started, you know, blowing up, it was because they had this crazy backstory and people saw it as really raw and real. And that's what people want in hip hop, right? They want the real until it becomes too real.
Well, that's sort of what people think about it, because Chief Keef gets on the front page of the paper not because he's Chief Keef and you're like, oh, what a great rapper.
Right.
Oh, look what this rapper did again. Yeah. It's not like Lance Briggs crashing his Lamborghini. Yeah. It's more about, see this kid who represents Chicago violence, gun mm-hmm. violence, and he's rapping about it, and look, he's trouble. And it shed this light, and it was very weird. It was like weird where the news put like a shine of light, and there were a lot of cases where some of the rappers would have videos, like you said, from your grandma's living room or whatever, and there was illicit drugs or guns and things like that, and they were all getting busted on it. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me because, you know, is that art or is that real life for these kids?
I mean, I think it's for the most part, it's real life. I think these kids were really living this, you know, this lifestyle, and they you know, they showcase it on their music. And I think that's why people were so drawn to it, because it was real. But it was art, and it was expression. And it was saying, hey, look, there are some really bad things happening here. And
right.
We're in these terrible
situations.
But it
wasn't made up. It wasn't like a...
No, it wasn't a fabricated. Like, where you watch rap videos and you go, okay, this is...
Wasn't a CB4 kind of
thing. Right. This lifestyle is fabricated. No, this was the real deal. And I think people liked it, but then they saw how real it was, and then they
A couple of them, there was like two crews were rival, and there was one or two people from each crew was getting killed over the music.
And it got serious. And it kind of, you know, it really put a black eye on that whole scene. And I think that was kind of happened at the perfect time, as, you know, guys like Chance the Rapper were kind of on the other side
more
of the spectrum.
More of that kind of stuff.
Kind of more, I would say, more of the same family tree as the Common and the Kanyes and the No IDs. And
now,
and,
let me, sorry to interrupt. Let me ask you this question, though, because did that, the sort of what happened with Chief Keef and shining a light on that and the sort of street, did that push away record companies, or did that attract?
No, it attracted more. And then it was like the gold rush. I call it the great gold rush of 2012, like 2013, where when it was Keef, everybody was calling, well, if I can't get Keef, who sounds like him? Who can I get? Who can we get to that, you know, that's equal to him?
And who then else has the backstory?
Right. And then I would say, listen, you guys, that's fine. And you can chase after these guys if you want, but there's these other kids in the city, the Save Monies, or, you know, Vic Mensa, Rocky Fresh, some of these other kids. Look, they're selling out shows. Like, they're really selling out shows. They have fans that are showing up, that are buying merch, that are, you need to pay attention to them. We don't care. No. Give us another Chief Keef. And then it was like, boom, the Chance the Rapper thing happens. And then everybody's calling, hey, we got another one of those Chance the Rappers.
We got another open mic kid who... Right, who's not putting music on iTunes.
Right. And then they wanted that. And then, you know, from that, I think it kind of just busted open the door where you have all these other great talents that are now coming through, from Tink to Mick Jenkins. And it's just amazing that there's all this talent that's been here for years. I mean, you would think, you know, New York, L.A., Atlanta, those have been the big, or the South, you could say, are the biggest markets. But the Midwest never really had their time. And I think now Chicago is finally having their time. And you would be confused. Okay, New York, first biggest, L.A., second biggest city. Why didn't Chicago have a ton of rappers like these other markets? But I think now, you know, with the digital revolution, these guys are busting through.
What role does artists like Kanye West or Common or even Twista play in developing some of this young talent? Because Kanye West has, you know, just when he was in town here with Scottie Pippen at the Bulls game,
right,
you know, later that night he's in Logan Square making a surprise appearance at Chance's open mic.
Yeah, that was on the South Side, yeah.
Oh, it was on the South Side.
Yeah.
But you know, what kind of role does a guy like Kanye West have in sort of bringing up young talent?
You know, he's always had artists here, from GLC and Really Doe to, you know, any number. And I think now he kind of sees it as his role, or, you know, job to reach back. And, you know, maybe they're not doing songs together, but they're at least having open dialogue and talking. And, you know, he's kind of playing the bigger brother role and saying, hey, this is probably what you should do. Maybe this is a good decision. And, you know, just kind of giving back and offering advice, because he's at the point where, okay, he's made it. Like, he's one of the biggest stars walking the planet right now. And I think maybe he feels like it's his obligation to now give back and try to uplift this next generation.
We're talking with Andrew Barber here from Fake Shore Drive, one of the preeminent hip-hop websites in the country, based here in Chicago. When we come back, we're going to talk more about I want to know what Chicago means to you and what it means to these artists. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things I love about your site is you're like, hey, new video dropped by XYZ that I've never heard of. And I press play. And I watched this video of them, you know, a crew on the west side getting on the L and using, and the artistic expression of this is as good as anything you're going to see on MTV, you're going to see anywhere. Yeah. Like, I'm like, this is amazing. I want this song. I want this video, like everything about it. Mm-hmm. And so obviously they're using Chicago as a backdrop and such a beautiful city and everything about it to enhance their art. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk more about that when we come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at you.
So download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman talking with Andrew Barber. He's a guest at the Big Table.
Yep.
FakeShoreDrive.com. He started the preeminent hip-hop blog. I keep saying that in Chicago, but it really is in the country because people have their eyes on what artists here in Chicago are doing. And it is fascinating because you've seen, you know, since you said you've been doing this 8 years now, you've seen artists actually go from, can I give you my mixtape, to I've got 70 million followers and I'm on the Billboard Music Awards tonight.
Some are millionaires now. some of these kids, they had nothing when I met them, and now they're, very wealthy. And it's great. I mean, it's great. That's what you want. You want people to be successful. Right. That's what we do. I mean, the goal is to try to help people become successful.
And what about you? I mean, like, what is the goal for Fake Shore Drive? I mean, is it to always be sort of a is this always going to be the kind of thing where you're like, I'm just pumping up the people that are around me? Or are you like, hey, I have big plans for this site. I know what I'm going to do. What are you doing with it?
We're trying to, now it's more so, I think, what we've done. And, shout out to Ty Kidd, who helps me with everything with the site. Our goal now is kind of let's take it to more of a media company, and where we're doing concerts and events. We work with a lot of big brands to do events. We worked really closely with Red Bull, and we still work with them to curate concerts and different brands, whether it be
so they team up with you. You provide like the content.
Yeah, we curate events, and we promote it, and we come up with all the ideas. And there's a lot of different things. We partner with different, whether it's consulting or brands will hire us to say, hey, we want to do an event, we want to make it cool, we need to hire you to come in and do it. And whether it's consulting somebody at a company or a brand will say, hey, we need to get this to the cool people. Can you introduce us?
Yeah, I mean, you're a 21st century journalist in the way that people come to you with sources and things. They say, hey, you got to hear about this. You know what's going to go on over here, man. I got to tell you what's going on over here.
Yeah, but you got to be careful.
What do you
with
do?
That.
I mean, you become the Perez Hilton of hip hop.
Yeah, no. Because if you start blabbing about everything and people tell you don't tell anybody, you should probably not tell anybody. And you got to keep your sources close because
and you don't do a lot of that stuff. I mean, you put the stuff up. You're not doing sort of this is what I heard on the scene kind of stuff.
No, unless we kind of have like a green light from people or we let them know. Like I never wanted to make it where it's a gossip site and we're just creating gossip or doing clickbait. Like we want to be really credible people, so what we say is true. We're not causing rumors. We're not trying to break up rappers or start beefs or promote. We're not into that. So we just want to be a good site that's credible, and when people tell us things or give us some insider information, we take it in and we decide what we're going to do with it from there.
Let me ask you about we've had different guests on. We had Reverend Jackson was on Friday, and we asked the same question just about Chicago as a place. You've decided to set up Fake Shore Drive here in Chicago. Now, again, we've said throughout this hour that the real strength of the hip-hop community is just because of where the industry is at. Mm-hmm. It's the West Coast and the East Coast.
Yeah, and in Atlanta.
Yeah, and Atlanta. And
Atlanta,
too, yeah.
Which is the South has been running the
so
hip-hop business.
So why Chicago?
Because there needs to be somebody here. It's the third biggest city in the United States, and people kind of have always treated Chicago and then the Midwest as a whole as just flyover states. And we are just consumers. We don't push culture. We don't drive culture. We don't move the needle. We just consume. But that's not the case. I mean, you got to look at somebody like Kanye West. He's probably the most influential rapper of them all right now. I mean, he and Jay-Z, right? Kanye can tell you something's cool and you'll do it. You know, a pair of shoes, a shirt. He is the walking embodiment of that, right? How can you say that Chicago doesn't have, you know, doesn't drive culture when one of the most influential superstars on the planet is from here? So there is a lot of people doing great things and moving culture. So there has to be somebody here to facilitate that. And within, now that it's a digital age, you don't have to move. I think a lot of times, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, people had to leave Chicago to go get on
Kanye.
People had to leave No ID Common. They had to go to New York or Atlanta or wherever. But now they can stay here. And it's a good thing. It makes it easier. And there has to be pillars here because there has to be somebody in the trenches fighting and continuing to spread the message and do this. And, you know, I think that's why you see a lot of these younger guys. They're not quick to move to L.A. Yeah, they might go out there for a few weeks at a time, but they're most of, you know, setting up shop today. Like I just saw Chance earlier today. So he's around. You know, he's not on tour. He's around town. So, you know, I think that this has been a change. I think people want to be here and try to help and facilitate new ideas and really breed a renaissance type.
Let's talk about the creativity. Like when you talk about a Chicago scene, like a rap scene, a hip hop scene, what is it about this city that supports it and helps make the art? Like what's the voice behind it? And secondly, what does it do to prevent? Like what does it do to prevent people from getting there?
Right. Yeah. You know, I think in the 90s or even in the early 2000s, they called Chicago Haterville. Like, you know, it was known as a place where nobody supported each other. And, you know, maybe if you were from the west side of town, you wouldn't work with anybody from the south side of town. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these areas didn't make, there was even regionalism within the city. Right. So if you listen to Twista and Do or Die, they had their own kind of sound with Traxxer. You could tell they were from the west side of Chicago, Crucial Conflict. And then you could hear the south side stuff like Common and No ID. And you knew, okay, that is from the south side. And now I think with the digital era, it's broken all that down. So nobody really cares about what side of town or where you're from. Or I think it's just people coming together that at one point in time there were these fake barriers, you know, blocking them. But now that's all come down and everybody's collaborating. And I think the younger people just kind of get it, you know, and I think the digital age has definitely spearheaded that.
Is there any move? Do you ever feel like the city itself, like the mayor's office or just the people who are in power recognize that this scene is happening in Chicago and
yeah,
do
definitely.
Anything about it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that even from like the, you know, Chicagoland to these different, you know, there was, you know, I was even in that for a little bit. Chance was in that. So I think that they have to know what's going on. They definitely pay attention to what's happening here. Now, will they act on it? Do they embrace it? Well, the city has embraced me this year. They made me one of their tastemakers or influencers for their Chicago Made program, like as a music ambassador for the city. They did a thing at South by Southwest.
I was hoping you'd get an honorary street.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Too. That sounds good too, Andrew.
But that's cool. You know, you got to start somewhere, right? Maybe one day, but I'm not holding my breath. But, you know, I think they do know and I think they do see the value in it. And, you know, hopefully they continue to support it and they see that it is beneficial. And, you know, maybe not everybody agrees with the content, but, you know, if it's helping people stay out of trouble to do something creative and, you know.
All right. So I got
arts.
You here. We'll wrap it up here. But give me one or two artists or tracks or mixtapes that if I were a WGN listener right now, is like, I'm intrigued. I want to know more about this stuff. Who should they check out?
You know, I think right now you've got, you know, everybody from Chance and Acid Rap. That's a couple years old, but everybody's
Chance the
got,
Rapper.
Chance the Rapper, yeah. Right? Vic Mensa, Internet Tape. He just signed with Jay-Z, and he's blowing up right now. Lil Durk on Def Jam Records. His new album comes out June 2nd. Remember My Name. That's the second major label release.
Remember his name, remember, WGN audience.
That's the second major label release since Chief Keef came out in 2012. So that's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. Yeah.
You know, Lupe Fiasco dropped a great album this year. It's called Tetso and Youth. It's really good. A lot of people slept on it. I think they should check that out. So that's a good place to start. Check out Mick Jenkins, too. He's good. The Waters. Check out his project.
And what about you? What's next for Fake Show? What do you got coming up?
We have a big event on June 11th. We can and we'll be announcing that tomorrow. So if you're interested, you can check out the website. Plug. I'm sorry, I had to do that.
You've segmented right. What you need to put on each day because you have to put so much content on.
No, but just you know, keep an eye out. You can follow us at Fake Shore Drive on Twitter, and we got a lot of stuff coming up this summer. It's going to be a fun one, and you know, thank you for listening and everybody that's supported the site throughout the years.
Andrew Barber, FakeShoreDrive.com, one of the most preeminent, I would say preeminent hip hop blogs in the country here in Chicago. Thanks so much for coming on the download.
Thank you.
And good luck with everything this summer.
We appreciate it.